All right, good morning, and you can turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. We're going to take a little bit of a detour from 1 Thessalonians this morning. Galatians chapter 6. We had just a wonderful week of vacation Bible school, and things went really well. It was just great to be able to have vacation Bible school, really. We didn't get to do it last year, and but this year God allowed us to do it. And so it was nice to be able to have all the kids back again, and really happy with how many we had. Maybe not the biggest crowd we've ever had in the history of Bible school, but it was the perfect number for us, and we were equipped for that many people. And I think we didn't have any kind of like behavior issues too much or anything like that. Everybody was there to do what they were supposed to do. And just a really good spirit all the way around. And so just, you know, once again, I appreciate everybody who helped to do it. We actually had quite a few new people, I think, this year, and several new kids. Particular blessing, Isaac was able to take his friend from across the street named Charlie. And that was the first time he had ever been to church. So we had sort of been working on them for a while, but this was the first time they let us take him to church, so we're really happy about that. And he had a great time, and I'm sure they've been having some interesting conversations at their house about that. His sister was asking him, what's church like? What's it look like there? And they hadn't been there. So we're going to continue to try to reach into that home. But lots of blessings from Bible school. But you know, Bible school also can be a little bit draining. Can. Some of you probably know that, right? It's like a little bit, some of the kids didn't really wake up too early this morning, and it's just, it can kind of take it out. I mean, you know, the older I get, the more I appreciate some of you who have been doing this way longer than I have even. Because, you know, I sort of feel like I've kind of been doing this for a long time, and I'm getting to the point where it's like, you know, this is kind of takes some effort to do. My energy level is kind of, you know, it just takes a little bit more oomph to get going. And I look around and it's like, yeah, but some of you, it's like, you've been doing this for way more than I have. And it's like, yeah, you're still doing it. So I guess that's what hopefully I have to look forward to. But that's a good, it's a good example of faithfulness in that. We were talking the other day of like, you know, some churches do like a big carnival thing on the last day. And my girls were immediately like, oh no, goodness, that would be way too much work. But that would be a lot, you know. So they're getting older too, some of the older ones. They realize it's not just all fun and games, but actually a lot of things go into it. So that's the way it is. And then, of course, you know, with the news of Brother Beecher passing on Friday, boy, that made that a little bit more difficult as well. Continue to pray. We'll have more information about all the arrangements and all at the end of service, but you know, that's just small mercies. It's like having that, you know, maybe at the end instead of the beginning made a difference, and God works all of those things out, and you continue to pray for us. But anyway, Bible school is a good opportunity for a church to work together. I think that's one of the best things about Bible school, is we're all kind of pitching in and doing all the jobs. There's so many extra jobs to do, and so lots of opportunities for people. You got like Ian Vogel up on the soundboard and stuff. I mean, it's, you know, Dakota Adams was in a class helping to teach. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of, you see these younger kids coming up and that have been at Bible school, and now they're kind of helping. All of this. Matty Vogel was single-handedly in charge of the puppets, I think, this year. So, you know, this it's really nice to see everybody kind of pitching in. And of course, you know, Brother Jim's still there making that Kool-Aid. It gets even better every year. I don't know exactly if the recipe changes or my taste buds change, but it's just fantastic. One of my favorite parts of Bible school, really. But it's a good opportunity for us to bear each other's burdens. We don't really think about that as like a burden to do Bible school, but you know, there are some jobs to do, and not everybody can do every job, and there's always things that come up, or people are injured, or people have different things. Well, I can't do this or I can't do that because of, you know, different things. And somebody else that maybe has to step in and say, well, I can help with that this year, or I can do this part. And we're sort of helping each other and bearing each other's burdens. And that's really a big part of what churches are supposed to do. We're supposed to be doing that all the time. And I think we do that all the time in different ways. But Bible school just sort of brings it out. It's all right there in the open, and we can see it. Sometimes we don't always see all the burdens that are being carried by other people. But, you know, in times of illness or loss or financial difficulty or, you know, pandemics, things like that, we really depend on each other, you know, to carry some of those extra weights that we have. And that's really what Paul's getting at here in Galatians chapter 6. We're just going to read five verses, and then we'll have hopefully a short message. We'll see what I can do about that. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness or meekness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each will have to bear his own load. Now that's kind of a strange sort of passage right off the bat, because he's talking about bearing each other's burdens, and then he's talking about bearing your own burden. What is going on here? Which one is it? Or what's he trying to talk about? And then he's talking about this being caught up in sin or transgression, and then restoring people. There's actually a lot going on here. It's not really, you think, well, it's a simple, bear each other's burdens, it's pretty simple, but Paul is actually sometimes not very simple. He's got a lot going on under the surface that hopefully we can dig into a little bit here. Now, unfortunately, I have 5 points today, which is usually 3 is kind of the way you want to go, but hopefully I can keep them short. But number one is we need to be willing to carry other people's burdens. That's the most obvious point, probably the most important one. We need to carry other people's burdens and be willing to do it. I was reminded of this the other day. I was listening to somebody, and they were talking about some music, and there was, it's totally going to hit the wrong generation here, but this is like a big Generation X kind of thing, I think. So, but if you were in high school at a certain period of time in the 90s, I listened to the group U2, you know, Bono and all that. Now, fortunately, that group is pretty popular, so, you know, even if you went in the 80s or 90s or even later on, you've heard of the group U2. And they have this song called One. It's one of their most famous songs, maybe not their most famous song, but a very famous one. So this comes out, this is like 30 years ago, I think, something like that. But anyway, they have this lyric in there. Here's the lyric. It says this beautiful, really a beautiful song about relationships, and it's kind of a softer sort of song. And he says, we're one, but we're not the same. We get to carry each other. Now, people look at that, and it's sometimes hard to listen to words of songs sometimes. As I get older, I listen to the radio, and I'm picking up like the actual thing they're saying a lot more than I used to when I was a kid. And so when you're a kid, you just sort of listen to the tune or whatever, and all the words just kind of fly by you, at least for me. But now, I'm sort of picking up all these words, and so some of the words I'm hearing, I'm thinking, that is a crazy song. Why would people listen to that? Why would people say that? And so it's kind of sort of hits me a little different now. But this song, if you're not really paying attention, you might think he says, we've got to carry each other. We've got to carry each other. You know, like, come on, we got to like get ourselves pumped up, and, you know, just it's going to be hard, but we're gonna make ourselves carry each other's loads or carry each other's burdens. But that's not what he says. What he says is we get to carry each other, which is way different We get to carry each other. So it's not a thing we have to do this thing, but no, it's a privilege that we get to share in each other's lives. And it's this joy that we're supposed to have, which turns out to be a very Christian idea. And that's what Paul's kind of getting at here. You know, in Bible school, another of my favorite parts in Bible school this year was Vera was around. And it turns out she kind of likes me. And so I get to hold her and carry her around sometimes. And that was great. I mean, now, Kim was carrying her around most of the time. She had, like, all the pack and everything. So that was kind of, like, primary carrying of Vera. But sometimes, like, before all the kids got down there and stuff, she would let me carry her. Just like, what a joy, you know, that was just great. Now, let me tell you, I've carried some kids before. It's not always a joy. Sometimes, like, you're at the zoo and it's, you know, 100 degrees and you got to carry this little pack of sweating mess all over the place. Not quite as fun, but Vera is different. She's wonderful. So it's all about how you look at it, right? If you say, oh, I've got to carry this little thing. But if you get to do it, I mean, this is Rick Isles has been doing this even longer than you two, I think. Telling us at camp, you know, you don't have to play kickball. You get to play kickball. You know, he was telling me back a long time ago about that, or maybe about softball, probably, for me. But yeah, it's like it changes your whole attitude. That's really, I think, what Jesus was talking about. He said, come to me, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. That's what Jesus is talking about. The way of Jesus, it's not about, oh man, I've got to do this stuff and help these people. And why do I have to do that? No. You get to do it. And it is a great joy. And if you come to it that way, it can be a great joy. And that's certainly the way that Jesus comes to it. And that's the way he wants us to come to it. So we need to be willing to carry each other's burdens. Not because, oh, we have to do it, but we get to do it. Because it is a joy. It's for our joy. Number two, we have to be willing to carry our own burdens. Paul also talked about, you also need to carry your own burdens. Which sounds like a lot. I got to carry other people's burdens and I got to carry my own burdens. That sounds like kind of, it doesn't say you have to do all those things at the same time, all the time or whatever. He's not asking us to, you know, work ourselves to death or something. But the basic point is, of course, you shouldn't be a freeloader. You shouldn't just be sponging on everybody else's work or just kind of skating by. Everybody else is doing it and you're just kind of sitting around. It certainly shouldn't be that way. I don't think there's a whole lot of people in that camp, but around here anyway. But it's a good reminder. Paul actually mentioned something even worse. He mentioned somebody who thinks they're doing all this work, but actually somebody else is doing it. So they think they're sort of taking credit for it, or, yeah, boy, I sure did make some good Kool-Aid this week, and actually that was Brother Jim that did that. You know, I can't just, you know, say, oh man, come try my Kool-Aid, it's great. No, I didn't do that. That wasn't my job. And so that's even worse than being a freeloader, is thinking that you're the one that did it. So don't do that either. And I think maybe more to the point for some of us is, this gets a little psychological, don't work yourself to death because you think you're a freeloader. It's like, well, I don't want to be lazy, so I'm just going to work myself to the bone. Probably don't want to do that either. You know, try to have a realistic idea about it, something reasonable. But we do need to be willing to carry our own burdens. Number three, we need to be willing to let others help us when we're overwhelmed. So part of carrying other people's burdens is you have to be the person that gets your burden carried by the other person, which that turns out to be a little bit harder for us sometimes, I think. You know, Brother Piven didn't have to let me preach this morning, but, you know, he's wise. And so, you know, it's like he knew he didn't have to come to all this. It's like there's people to help, you know, when there's difficulty. Americans just have a tough time with this. We're just sort of programmed to be independent all the time. We actually have a Declaration of Independence, right? It's like, that's an actual thing. And we live that way. You know, it's like, and we expect other people to live that way. You should take care of yourself. You should, you know, tie your own shoes and do all this. And it's good for people to be responsible, of course. You know, Paul does say, yeah, carry your own burdens. But that's not the only part of life. You know, sometimes things just overwhelm you. And the response shouldn't be, well, I'm an American, I'm just going to grind my teeth a little harder and do it anyway. Now, sometimes you can do that, but there's diminishing returns to that. You know, eventually there's burnout and there's, you know, your body starts rejecting that and breaking down and you can work too hard, harder than you're supposed to work. And you have to, sometimes you're not always aware that that's happening, but that's a real thing, and particularly a real thing for us in this culture that we live in. And so we have to be careful. We need to be willing to let other people carry our burdens sometimes. Now that's kind of bad, but that sort of makes us a little bit vulnerable. We have to say, well, we have to admit that we can't really do everything. We want this image of other people to have of us of, well, I can do anything. I can get it done. I can do this. I can do that. I got the, you know, everything in my home's good. Everything in my work's good. Everything at church is good. I mean, it's all, you know, all the plates are spinning, and it's because I'm so awesome. But what is the cost of that? Sometimes the cost of that is relationships and time spent with your kids and all kinds of different things, physical problems that come because of pushing things too hard, not getting enough sleep, not eating right. There's all kinds of things that just sort of cascade against you when you do that. No Christian is meant to be independent. That's the whole reason we have church. We're not supposed to just be Christians on our own. We're supposed to be Christians together. We're not supposed to just try to do it ourselves. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. So, at the very least, we're not independent of Christ. If you're independent of Christ, you're in big trouble. You want to be in Christ. You want to be dependent on Christ. We have this really great song, by the way, about I'm the vine, you're the branches. We won't sing it now, but it's one of my favorites. It's got some cool emotions, too. But it reminds us, we're not on our own. We have, there's people lifting us up. And Christ, ultimately, Christ is the one that is providing us with our spiritual life and vitality and the power to do what we do for God. And so we have to be willing to let others help us. You know, actually, salvation depends on our willingness to accept help and admit that, yes, I cannot make my life work by myself. I need Christ. That's what Paul says if you look a little bit down in verse 14. He says, but far be it from me to boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. And so he's talking about the only thing that matters to him is the cross of Christ. He knows that he doesn't have anything to boast about. And actually, Paul had a lot to boast about. But he said all that stuff doesn't matter. The most important thing is what Jesus has done for me. So we got to be willing to let other people help us. All right, so far we need to be willing to carry others' burdens. We need to be willing to carry our own burdens. We got to be willing for other people to carry our burdens. Number four, we have to be willing to release others from unnecessary burdens. This can be a little tough too. Remember I said unnecessary burdens. Some burdens have to be carried and need to be carried and should be carried. There are responsibilities that we have and should have, and they're good responsibilities. But sometimes people get other responsibilities laid onto them that maybe don't have to be done, or maybe they don't have to be done that way or to that degree. And we have to be, I think, mindful of that. We're actually pretty good at heaping extra burdens on people. And we need to really be careful not to do that if we can help it. Because that's not helping anybody. That's just making more work. Now, the context of Galatians itself is this very thing. These Jewish converts to Christianity have risen up, and a lot of them coming out of this Pharisee sort of background. And so their thought is, really, all these Christians need to be Jewish, and then they can be Christians. Why? They need to follow the Jewish law. They need to eat the things that we eat. They need to avoid the things that we avoid. They need to be circumcised and all these different things. They need to follow the law. And that's how you be a good Christian. And you know, they're putting all of this on these Greek Christians who they didn't grow up that way. They grew up eating whatever they wanted. And some of the things they grew up doing were bad, you know. But so it's like, you know, well, Paul, sort this out. What does it really mean to be a Christian? And Paul says, no, you don't have to be Jewish. You don't have to follow those laws. We have freedom in Christ. We have a new law. We have the law of Christ. That's what it says in here. It says, bear one another's burdens and fulfill the law of Christ. Well, what's that? Well, if you look back in chapter 5, and in verse 13, he sort of explains that a little bit. He says, for you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out that you are not consumed by one another. Which is a little bit of a play on words there. He's, you know, these people were kind of to the point of sort of fighting each other and to the arguing so strenuously with each other. He says, if you keep doing that, you know, you're going to eat yourselves up. You're going to destroy the whole thing. And that's not going to be good for anybody. The whole point of Christianity is to love other people and to love God. And so he says, that's the law of Christ. So we have this freedom in Christ. And he says, it's not a freedom to do whatever you want. It's not a freedom to go and sin or to go and disobey God. It's a freedom to serve God. But it's a light burden. It's not easy, but it is light in a certain sense. And you don't have to have all these extra laws that you have to fill to get into the club, and you don't have to do this, do these Jewish dietary laws, and you don't have to be circumcised, and you don't have to do all these other important Jewish things. And of course, now you know we bring that. It's like, well, we don't make anybody do any of that stuff, so what's this got to do with us? Well, sometimes, you know, it's like, well, to come to our church, you got to wear this kind of clothes, and you got to. You got to know these kind of songs, and you got to do this kind of. Sometimes we can fall into that, or you got to give this amount of money to be at our church, or like you're, well, if we're having, you know, some kind of, we have this kind of food at this time, and we got to, you know. Sometimes those things can become a burden that is unnecessary. I don't think we're terribly bad at any of that, but it's something we have to kind of keep in our minds. To be careful, it's like, are we putting some extra burdens on people? We have to be careful about that, because people are pretty sensitive to that. That's some people are not going to church because they know there's some unnecessary burdens there that they don't want any part of, and so we want to make sure that we're mindful of that. How many unnecessary burdens are there? I think there are quite a few, and I think the more you look at it, the more you think about it, there's a lot of things that we do that are traditional, but maybe not necessary. Maybe they're not required. It's not wrong that we do them. A lot of these Jewish things were not wrong. It's not wrong to avoid bacon, but man, what a burden to put on somebody. So we have to be careful about that. We don't want to just be going around making up rules for no reason. Now, again, a lot of rules have really good reasons, but it's a tricky thing. So we need wisdom from God in that. All right, that brings us to number 5. We need to be willing to see other people as gifts from God. And this is really a reiteration of point number 1. Be willing to carry others' burdens. we need to look around and see other people as gifts that God has given us in our lives. It's so easy to look around and you see this person and you think, oh man, what a problem. What a problem. And we see them as a problem instead of a person. And it is really easy to do that. It's really easy. I'm looking at it right now. I'm like, it's like, but we have to fight against that. No, God is not trying to punish us with this person. It's like, well, yesterday we did a little a mini road trip. Some of the guys and Ian and Levi were sitting in the back seat, and one more person had to sit back there with them. So there was like a, you know, rock, paper, scissors or whatever it was that happened. Well, anyway, so Isaac had to sit back there one time and Rowan had to sit back there one time. But it was like, oh, what a punishment to have to sit back here with these people. Why do I have to sit back with the little kids? And oh. But remember, God, it's not like that. God is not trying to punish you when he's putting you your desk right next to that other annoying person's desk. Or, you know, the person in front of you at the line at the bank or something or whatever it is. It's not a punishment. It's a gift. Sometimes you've got to look really hard to find out what the gift is. But God's not trying to punish you. He's trying to bless you. And so it's our job to look for the blessing that other people are. And if you look, a lot of times you'll find it. And sometimes it's unexpected. And you'll find out, well, actually, I didn't realize that person was interested in that. Or I didn't, you know, I never talked to that person before, but it turns out that we have this in common. Or, you know, there's some kind of, oh, that was an interesting thing that happened this week. I didn't know about, but now I do. And there's all kinds of ways that we can bless each other that we might not expect. We've got to remember that. Remember, God cares about that person too, more than you do. So if God cares about that person, you should care about that person. And so we should always be looking for these blessings. Remember, we should it's not you have to, you get to. It's that whole change in perspective. And that's what we need to be trying to do. Now, none of this is sort of the conclusion here. None of this is like easy or natural for us to do. I mean, obviously, right? We have problems. There's interpersonal problems all over the place. People's relationships are difficult. And you know, Paul acknowledges that, and even Jesus talks about that. It's like, it's difficult to get along with people. That's why there's so much in the Bible about getting along with people, being long-suffering, being patient, because it doesn't come naturally. Being forgiving. Those are hard things to do. This is right here, chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Those are hard to do and really impossible to do without the Holy Spirit, because they're the fruit of the Spirit. That's what being a Christian's about. It's changing your whole life. It's changing your whole nature into this new thing that is intertwined with the Holy Spirit, that pours out good things instead of the usual bad things that mess up our relationships. Yesterday, as I said, what we were doing, this was Dan and Ryan and Dominic and a couple other. Anyway, we piled into this car. We went down to some place in Kentucky that I'd never been before to see some monster trucks. That's what we did yesterday. And really, it would not have happened other than it was fulfilling Isaac's wildest dreams of going to see these things. This was not on my list of things to do, but this was a thing that needed to happen. So it happened, and we did it. And it was pretty expensive, and it was extremely hot. It was all outside. There's a lot of people. There's a lot of cicadas. Oh my goodness, the cicadas were everywhere. And you know, there were lots of parts where nothing was happening. I mean, those big trucks would just like, smoke would come out of them, and then they would just sit there, and they'd have to take this big thing to come out and drag them off of there, and he was kind of sitting there in the hot sun waiting for them to do it, and like they ran out of gas sometimes, or I don't know what all happened, but Dan was trying to explain to me exactly the thing that was going wrong in the car. It's like, yeah, the car, I get it, all right. But you know, we had fun. It was still a fun thing. You know, Ian and Levi were pretty well done about halfway through, but you know, we had some cold drinks for them, and we kind of, all three of us kind of made it through it. But you know, mostly we got to see some monster trucks and have some fun together. So we didn't have to see them, we got to see them. And so I had to kind of keep like telling myself, you know, it's not, we didn't have to do this, we get to do this. It's like, that's how it is. And of course, now that Bible school is about fishing, guess what Isaac came home with the other night? A fishing pole. Guess what's gonna happen next? Another thing I get to do is go fishing. Not one of my favorite things, but maybe it will become one of my favorite things. I don't know. But anyway, that's probably going to happen too. So if you're interested in going on a fishing expedition sometime in the near future, that's probably going to be happening. But that's what we have to do. That's part of bearing other people's burdens, making things happen for other people. You don't have to do it. You get to do it. And really, you know what? Helping somebody, if you really help somebody and you know, man, they needed that and I was there and I was the one that got to give that thing to them and they were real thirsty, but I was the one that handed them that drink, or, you know, it's like I got to, somebody was like a dollar short of lunch or something. I just got my dollar out there and they got it. That's a great feeling. It really is a great feeling to help somebody. I think you know what that feels like. And that's because we've created to do that. God has put that in us, deep down inside there, that you know what? Actually, it's a good thing to do that. It's good for you. It's good for them. It's good for creation. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. Sacrificing for others. When we sacrifice for others, we're activating that resurrection power that we have inside us. We're getting more of it, and we are living in that kingdom. And that's what we need to do. You're living in the Spirit, Paul says. We're walking in the Spirit. We're fulfilling the law of Christ when we do these things. And as Bono says, we get to carry each other. We get to. Let's bow our heads and we'll pray. Father, we thank you for the message this morning. Help us to be encouraged. Help us to bear each other's burdens and to be willing to do it and to see things not that we have to do it, but that we get to do it. Help us to live that way and to fulfill the law of Christ. In your name, amen.